with respect to cyber, in partnership with some number of other organizations across the government and the private sector, all of us are concerned that the nation has stored wealth and treasure in that space. That's a great good, but that needs to be properly cared for. We need to ensure that the space is defensible, need to ensure that it's well defended, and need to ensure that we utilize all the instruments of national power to aid and abet that. The National Security Agency, of course, does not have a responsibility to manage the nation's networks, but it does have information, it does have expertise that it can bring to bear, assisting the Department of Homeland Security and the private sector in better understanding how to create the resilient networks that the nation needs.
Is the bigger issue the loss of intellectual property in the United States, or is the bigger issue the thought of destruction by taking over control systems and SCADA and that sort of thing?
I think all of those are theoretically possible. I would say at the moment the concern is, are the systems resilient enough to ensure that the information you need is available when you need it? Are the systems going to be there 24 hours a day and provide back to you, whether it's your private information, your financial information, 24 hours a day effectively as you need?
Now, a big theme of yours is human capital development and having the right people and matching them with the right resources. It's what you spoke at FedSMC last evening. Tell us about the human capital issues related to cyber. Are there enough people out there, and how are you dealing with getting the right people into NSA on that issue?
Well, I don't think the pie is big enough across the United States in terms of the skills that we and so many other companies need in the age of cyber. But we are having some success, great success, at recruiting people who've got both the technical skills and the passion for national service. At the end of the day, for us, people are, in fact, our most valuable resource. Everything else pales in comparison to what our people bring to work every day.
Now, NSA is a difficult agency to understand externally, and that's by design. Is it a good place to work?
It is a good place to work. There's a sense of national service, a pride that you're making a difference in excess of what perhaps your singular efforts might be. There's a sense of pride that comes from knowing that what you do makes a difference to the security of upwards of 300 million people in the nations that we're allied with. So I think from that standpoint, morale is good.
Now, what types of specific skills does it take to get into the NSA? What do you look for? Say, let's begin with people that are new to the workforce or young people.
We're a big company, so we need just about everything. So most people would think of mathematicians, computer scientists, electrical engineers, but of course we need people who are expert in languages. We need people who are expert in issues that we might have to track on behalf of our customers. We need logisticians, we need HR specialists, people who know human resources, people who can essentially make a large company run. But between and amongst all of those particular skill sets, what we need most of all are people who have a passion for service, people who want to serve the nation.
Now, what about people that might have put 20 years in at a civilian agency, and they say, gee, that sounds like a lot of fun. Could they get into the NSA at that point in life?
They sure can. We hire a lot of people every year, and we look for diversity between and amongst the people that we hire. That's not just literal diversity in terms of the skills that they bring to bear, but it's the experience they might have. You might come with no experience but a college degree, and you're able to make a difference on the first day. You might bring 20 years of experience, and you too can make a huge difference on your first day. We look for all of that.
Now, NSA is not immune to the budget pressures that are facing DOD and the entire federal government. So what has been the response there? How severe is it?
We're not immune to those budget pressures, and we shouldn't be. Whether the budget is fat or lean, we should be expected to make the best use of every dollar that we're entrusted on behalf of the public. I would say that there are certainly going to be some budget pressures in the years ahead, and we need to therefore look to make sure that we're making the best use of those dollars, that we concentrate on the resources that are going to make the biggest difference for us, that's going to be people, and that we're effectively, efficiently applying the resources for those things that we've been asked to do. I don't know what the precise choices are going to be since we don't yet have the budgets, but we're going to do everything in our power to be consistent with what the federal government and the American public needs us to do.
We're speaking with Chris Inglis. He's the Deputy Director of the National Security Agency, and you have a theme called the ethos of public service. What do you mean by that?
Ethos is a cultural artifact. It means, do you, at the end of the day, mean to make a difference? Do you want to make a contribution greater than your own singular efforts? That ethos lives in lots of organizations, but the most successful organizations have that in spades. And so ethos for us just means that you hold up your right hand and you support and defend the Constitution, the whole of it. That's a service, a call to service ethos.
Now, getting back to the ethos and the idea of cybersecurity, maybe we can blend those two. A lot of people don't want NSA anywhere near cyber, especially in the civilian sector, for whatever reason. How do you answer that with what you do have to contribute to the whole debate?
I can appreciate the concern. NSA is probably best known as an intelligence organization, and there are many things that we do that are completely inappropriate to bring to bear in a domestic environment. But NSA is also the institution that for its 60 years has been making codes, helping to make systems more resilient, helping to bring expertise to bear in making networks that can be defended. And that expertise should be brought to bear to help those who do make and manage our networks do that in a way that we can store information in those networks and have every confidence that only those people who should have access to that information do. NSA doesn't want to manage those networks, but I think NSA should be expected to bring its expertise to bear in support of those who do.
Now, you're a career federal executive, and you're not appointed to the job. So how does the whole dynamic work when you work for a guy like General Alexander, who is appointed, and yet NSA is NSA, and you're the number two guy there?
Well, the tradition at NSA has always been that the senior individual, the leader of the organization, is a senior serving general officer. For most of our history, it's been a three-star. Now it's a four-star by the name of General Keith Alexander. He's a career public servant, albeit a military uniformed public servant. And I, too, am a career public servant, but I've spent most of my career at NSA. The two complement each other quite well. Our job is to ensure that as a team, we're doing what the agency needs, what the nation needs us to do. He's been there 7 years. I've been there six. I don't know how much longer we'll serve together, but it's been a joy for me.
Now, you got a lot of training in the Air Force. You flew planes. How does that bear on a public service career?
Well, that too was public service, but some days a lot more fun, tactically much more satisfying. I would think that the things I learned in the Air Force are useful to me even today, maybe not so much how to manage airspeed and altitude, but what it means to operate as part of a larger team, what it means to be in a very technical environment, but at the same time understand that people are the thing that makes it go.
Now, public service itself has been kind of denigrated in this environment that we're in by people who should know better, some people who don't know better. What can we do? What can places like NSA do? And what can leaders, especially in the career field, do to maybe help change that debate?
My sense is that public service is still a very popular thing amongst our young people and certainly people of all ages. But I've been impressed with the young people who show up at NSA. They clearly don't show up there for the money, the swell parking, or the great buildings. They show up because they want to make a difference. And so I think what NSA's obligation is to meet that promise more than halfway and give those people who show up to serve an opportunity to do that.